There we go. Okay, well, pray with me for a moment and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for this day. Thank you, Father, for the day that you have made, and we rejoice and are glad in it. Heavenly Father, we just want to ask you, as we spend some time this day in your word, as we spend some time seeking your truth, seeking, Father God, what it is that you would want to explain and teach and show to your people. Father, I just ask, and we ask right now, that we would leave aside all programming, all prejudging and prejudice, and all just internal assumptions, Father, and that as we spend some time looking into both the scriptures and that which is revealed, Father, we ask that you would teach us, that you would show us, that you would reveal truth unto us for the purpose of walking in that truth and actioning that truth and experiencing that truth, and that truth being real and known and part of our being and our existence. We invite you into this time. We invite you to reveal and lead and guide and show and quicken us to walk in that which is revealed unto us for the purpose of the lives you intended us to have upon this earth. In Jesus' name we do ask and we do pray. Thank God. Okay, all right, so just want to spend a little bit of time here. Let's go into the scriptures, and let's go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. I'm going to go down a little bit, too, and I want to touch on something that is discussed a couple times in the book of Revelation. First, Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. "And to the angel of the church of Smyrna write these things, saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days, but be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." And I'm going to go next into Revelation 3, because something is mentioned again, and I want to spend a little time on this. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. "And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Okay, so mentioned twice. First of all, a little background. Revelation, in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3, we have the seven churches that are written about. Now, the thing about the seven churches is that depending on some of the different approaches that people take to the scriptures, some people discuss this as being a timeline of the progression of the churches throughout history, and different church ages, if you would. Others discuss these being a representation of every type of church upon the earth and a manifestation of every type of church upon the earth, right, at any given time. And then there's other ways that people can see this with regards to, you know, that which is futuristic, that which is past, that which is present. And, you know, there's sometimes we end up thinking about these things far too linear and trying to say if either this or that. And sometimes there are dimensions and levels to this, both of the scriptures and the manifestations of the scriptures, where so often you see that with the patterns that have been manifest in and around the world that we live in. So when it comes to the something that's mentioned, now one thing, this is what I love to do with the scriptures, is I love to look for what is the consistencies, what are the instructions that are consistent throughout, what are the things that are general instructions that you can take and apply to your life and make them real into your own world and to your own experience. And one of those instructions, and you'll notice this in the book of Revelation, to every one of those churches, there's always an instruction. You see it in chapter 3, verse 12. Him that overcometh, to him that overcometh. And there's always a thing about overcoming, whether it's a church age, a type of church, the type of individual, that's another one, that every one of these churches represents a type of individual. Whatever the manifestation, there's always a instruction to overcome, right? Now, we talked about in an earlier series, we discussed the nature of, well, okay, to break that word into two, overcome, or switch it around, come over, or come above, to him who comes above, to him who goes above. Who? How do you overcome? How do you get beyond all of these things? Well, the world works very hard to bring you down in your energy, your frequency, your vibration. So when you go up, and you manifest in, you tap into the trueness and the fullness of who you are. And in the process of going into the fullness of who you are, you experience you experience this life, this dimension, this reality from a different place, from a different experience. You can be experiencing a world, but from a different place. So a lot of people can go through certain sets of life experiences, and they can experience those things from a different perspective. Okay? So, you know, sometimes people will go, for example, people might go on a trip, or they might go on a vacation. They might go to the exact same place, and you'll have two different couples that'll have gone to that same place, and one set of people will say, oh my gosh, I had the most horrible time. You know, I went to this place and the rooms were small, and there was no hot water, and there was this and there was that, and they'll complain about it. And then the next couple will go into that exact same place and they'll say, oh my gosh, we had the most amazing time ever. There was just, we were so entwined with nature there, and we saw all these amazing sights and the beauty of things, and the mornings were just crisp and clean and felt so alive and invigorated. Now, these two sets of people may have experienced the exact same place, but because of what was going on within them, also affected how they experienced that dynamic without, right? Okay, so there is an element to our experiences in this life and in this world, for depending on also where we are within, that affects how we go through this life and affects our perception of reality and affects also the manifestation of what we bring into our world, because like attracts like. And when you resonate within yourself of who you are and you take action, you will create, right? Now, and you will create that which is within you. So if you are manifesting fear and failure and dis-ease and lack and poverty and a mindset that continues to look for those things, well, the scriptures tell you if you ask and seek and knock, if you ask, you receive, you seek, you find, you knock and the door is open. So if you're asking for sickness, you will find sickness. If you're asking for a dis-ease, you will find dis-ease. If you're asking, if you're knocking on the door of all of the past mistakes you've ever made, you will continue to open that door and bring them into your reality to this day. If you will want to break the patterns of the past, you have to recognize where they came from, and also recognize how those things stop and change. How do you break any pattern in your life and in your world and in your experience? Well, you stop doing the things that led you to it in the first place, right? If you continue to do what you've always done, you continue to get what you always got. If you want to make a change in your life in any way, shape, or form, then you make a change in your life in every way, shape, and form. It's that simple. You make a change. If you don't like something about your life and your experience, you make a change. You make a shift, right? So this is where there has to be some recognition of what's going on within you to be able to then make that change in your life and in your experience. And this is one of the traps that happens to so many people, is that they continue to blame something external of themselves, thereby giving their power away to something outside of themselves, thereby giving that which you have the greater powers within you, right? But you give it away to something external, and you acquiesce, you give away that which is what you can affect, you can change. But because you choose to give that power to something outside of yourself, you say the greater power is outside of yourself, and then you give your power away and your expectation away, and you allow your life to be dictated by external circumstances, versus the words of Jesus, which was, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, i.e., the greater power is inside of you, not outside of you. Now, if you don't use the greater power that's outside of you, then there's only one power then that's manifesting, which is what's outside of you. And so then, of course, you're a victim to those circumstances and those situations because you're not using what's yours. At the same time, when you exercise and you utilize what's within you, right? When you start utilizing that, then you will see the manifestation of truth and life and all that is within you coming to reality and coming to fruition. Okay, so that being the case, right? You have to also recognize that there are other interests at play. There are things that are out there that are at play both within you and outside of you that do not have the best interests of your life and your journey and your manifestation at heart. Okay? So it's not all sunshine and rainbows. We know that. It's not all it's not all the expectations that people end up... Listen, if you are going to experience something different in this dynamic, in this manifestation of your base reality, of what you're experiencing here, at such a time as this, in such a manifestation as this, if you're going to have to use that which is within you that you have a destined right to use and to utilize. But you also have to get past all of the programming of the mind that keeps you from that. And just all you have to do is examine your life and examine your experience, and you can recognize how those things have not served you. Has it served you to be a victim? No, it has not. Has it served you to give away your power to something else? No, it has not. Has it served you to play political games and to look to political parties to solve your problems? No, it has not. No, it has not. Those are distraction tactics used to keep people involved in everything else except that which will make a difference in their personal life and their personal journey. So the things that people are given, they're given breads and circuses to keep them away from spending their time, their energy, looking into, pondering, thinking about, and coming into the place of solutions. Now, I'm gonna read something to you here. Okay. Now I'm gonna read something to you here from. Now I've spoken about this book before, and I encourage you all have to get a copy of this one. I'll give you the name of it again. The name of it is called Tara, T-A-R-A, Covenant of the Celts and Jeremiah, 6th century BCE, and it's by Eucadia. All right, I'm going to read you something from this, and I want you to listen. I want you to listen carefully. Okay, this is Tara, it's page 12 of Tara, C.8, Evil. That's the title, right? Okay. Evil exists and envelops many. Evil is real and enslaves cities and people. Nothing can proceed unless evil is vanquished. Evil be not a single demon or ghost, nor be evil a force of nature, but the sickness of mind of people, affected by wickedness, depravity, and superstition. Evil be not chaos or any other state of existence, but a deliberate and willing prison of mind, through willing and intentional ignorance to cause harm, to abandon honor, to surrender self-control, to neglect and choose to turn away, to abuse others and cause them pain, to forget who and what you are, to not wish to remember or learn, and to follow false gods and idols. Evil be not a god or demigod, but the force of sickness of mind, in life and in death as ghost. Thus, to cure the world of evil, the mind must be cured of the sickness that causes evil. What then be the cause of evil of the mind? It begins with self-hate, and is grounded in isolation, and nurtured by loneliness and self-pity, and nurtured by hatred and jealousy, and fomented by obsession and willful ignorance, and protected by delusion. That one be a suffering savior, fallen victim to a cruel and unforgiving world. Thus evil be a well-formed prison fortress of mind that only gains strength if directly assaulted, to defeat such illness of mind and prevent such sickness ever gaining hold, one must pursue more than one path and more than one remedy, to bring upon such a corrupted inner world the greatest force and power and light of the most inspired divine revelation and love that the world has ever seen. Let us begin with resolute certainty this be truly ordained, for no soul be lost or abandoned by the divine creator. So yes, okay, so evil does exist. And evil exists, and it is real, and it does enslave cities, and it enslaves people. But the fact that it is a deliberate and willful prison of the mind through willing and intentional ignorance, and all of the manifestations that come from that. You know, this is where you begin to also recognize and to see and to understand the fact that in the human experience, you know, you and I, we can have an abundance, a plethora of experiences in your time here, in your experience, in this reality. But we make choices. We make decisions. And this is part of your journey here, to take responsibility, personal responsibility, for the manifestation of your own life, your own journey, and in that process, to direct it, because you can direct your journey. And there's going to be a lot of things that will be going on in the background, trying to get you to go one way or the other, trying to get you to manifest a world that is in line with a different agenda, that is not human, that is not part of your process, part of your something that is for your good and the good of those that you love and care for. But you have to recognize that for what it is, and then also say, no, you are going to manifest the truth. You are going to manifest that which is real. Because in this regard, when it comes to evil, it is a deliberate and willing prison of mind through willing and intentional ignorance to cause harm, to abandon honor, to surrender self-control, to neglect and choose to turn away, to abuse others and cause them pain, to forget who and what you are, to not wish to learn or to not wish to remember or learn, and to follow false gods and idols. I mean, that is a tremendous, tremendous summary of evil, right? Now, and this is something that, you know, we should be speaking about. Because for some reason, in this day and age, Well, we know what the reasons are. We're going to talk about these as we get going. But when evil is spoken of and spoken about, because the world has worked very hard to try to control the narrative, they call that which is evil good and that which is good evil. Okay? Now let's have a little bit of a distinction. So you, because what did Jesus say? You're going to know a tree by its fruit. You're going to know a tree by its fruit. So when people want to, you can listen. You can slap lipstick on a pig all day long; it's still a pig. That's what it is. You can do a lot of different things to try to dress up evil, but the manifestation, the fruit it produces, is corrupt, is destructive. It has a certain effect, right? Okay. So in this regard, let's go to John 10:10. What does that say? The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. All right, so here you have a contrast between the thief and the one who came, the good shepherd, who giveth life who giveth his life for the sheep. What does the thief do? The thief comes to steal. The thief comes to kill. The thief comes to destroy. The thief is the ally of evil. And you will see the manifestation of evil in the things that the thief does. Whereas those that are from the children of the Most High, those that are on the side of the light, and those that are on the side of the truth, and those that are walking in that manifestation, they are part of this, which is, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So these are the ones working for life and abundant life. It's very clear. It's very clear. So when you look out and you see, you can ask the question, is this not the words that people speak? Because the words are one thing. And the words will, but what is it that they do? And what is the manifestation of what they do? Right? Now, what is it? Now, this comes down to a personal level, and this also comes down to a community level and to an organizational level. Because many times what will happen is people will get together in groups to do certain things, to accomplish certain objectives. And, you know, in this regard, you know, there are people that come together to be agents of light and agents of truth, and to enforce and to bring forward truth and to bring forward that which would be life-giving and to allow for abundant life. Look for those ones. Why? When you look for those ones, you're finding those that are on the side of the truth, and truth will resonate with them, and they will resonate with truth. At the same time, one of the verses we started with, let's go to Revelation 3, verse 9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they're Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and know that I have loved thee. Now, a synagogue is an assembly, right? It is, let me actually get this definition for you here. Okay, so it is in the Strong's, you've got this, it's a properly an appointment that is the fixed time or season, specifically festival, convention of a year, by implication assembly, as countervened for a definite purpose, technically the congregation, by extension the place of meeting, also a signal as appointed beforehand, appointed sign, time, place of solemn assembly, congregation, set solemn feast, season, a synagogue, set time and appointed time. Let me give you three more definitions for a synagogue together. It's a proper assembly, a congregation or assembly of Jews met for the purpose of worship or the performance of religious rites. Another definition, a house appropriated to the religious worship of the Jews. And then another one, the court of the 70 elders among the Jews called the Great Synagogue. Now, these are all definitions of the word synagogue. But now in Revelation 2, Revelation 3, and we're just using the scriptures here, so people don't get bent out of shape and don't be triggered by just the discussions of the scriptures. There is mention twice here in the book of Revelation, a synagogue of Satan, an assembly of Satan. Right? Okay, so there is an assembly of Satan out there. Now, what does that entail? You know, this is something where, you know, people should be asking, okay, if there is an assembly of this one, then how does that manifest? Because now, as far as a person goes, it's a fallen angel, you know, a demon, not necessarily somebody that's on the side of humanity, right? So you've got someone that is not on the side of humanity that has an assembly, right? So the definition for Satan is the angel who, in the Jewish belief, is commanded by God to tempt humans to sin, to accuse the sinner, and to carry out God's punishment. The rebellious angel who, in Christian belief, is the adversary of God and lord of evil, synonyms, Archfiend, Beelzebub, devil, fiend, Lucifer, that old serpent, right? Okay, so there's an assembly, there's a people that get together that are in line with and have committed themselves to an adversary of humanity and an adversary of God's plan and purpose for humanity upon the earth. Now, this is something that's mentioned in the scriptures, and this is something that you have to also recognize it has been out there. Now, there are those that posture as something that they are not. And it's important to make the distinction and the definition and the so that you can recognize what something is and what something is not. Because many times people will hide behind something else so that they can continue on with a plan and with an agenda. And now we've seen the manifestation. So now in the scriptures we recognize that there is an evil. And the manifestation of that evil, there are also those that have given themselves over to evil. You know, so the child of light, the child of truth, the one that is on the path of the Most High, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and he's giving you a path, but there are those that have rejected that, and they've gone another way. And those that have gone the way of evil, there are those that then assemble together with others that have gone the way of evil to manifest evil upon the earth. This is not a big stretch. And so, recognizing that that's out there, that the scriptures have warned of this, and that there are also deliberate attempts and uses of their efforts against humanity and against the people of the Most High, against the children of the living God, against even in the scriptures when it talks about, it says they claim they say that they're Jews, but they're not. Well, it's against even the Jews. It's even against those people as well. So there are a group that are out there. Now, again, you start to then say, well, how does this evil manifest? Well, you have to go and look. But look at the observation, look at the fruit of it, look at the manifestation of it. And so when you start to see that manifestation happening upon the earth, then you also have to recognize some of the remedy that needs to take place. See, in a situation like this, well, instead of warring against that which is outside of yourself, recognizing that it's there, well, the first place you start is within yourself. And this is something that is a very important distinction that we all need to make and to understand, is that the war doesn't, if you want to resolve the issue of evil, it is outside of your, the evil that's outside of yourself, I should say, you start by going within yourself. Because the kingdom is within. And you resolve this within yourself. So let's go back to Tara and to what we were reading earlier. I'm going to pick it up at 23. What then be the causes of evil of the mind? It begins with self-hate and is grounded in isolation and nurtured by loneliness and self-pity and nourished by hatred and jealousy and fomented by obsession and willful ignorance and protected by delusion that one be a suffering savior, fallen victim to a cruel and unforgiving world. See, let me just read this next one here. Thus, evil be a well-formed prison, fortress of the mind, that only gains strength if directly assaulted. Now, can I just take this and then this section here and now overlay this with what the world has experienced in the last 3 years? Do you not see how the COVID-19 agenda was, by sheer just definition and expansion, an evil agenda? Right? Okay, because what was it? It was a complete assault on the mind. And what did it do with people around the world? It manifested and it's definitely reinforced self-hatred. It was a policy of isolation. And what did that do once people were in that state of isolation? It nurtured loneliness, absolutely, and self-pity. How many people? And nourished by the hatred and jealousy and fomented by obsession and willful ignorance. What did people do when they were isolated? Where did they go? They went to the internet. And what did they see? The control constructs of information by certain controllers of those platforms to do what? To reinforce this. So they were isolated and then they were reinforced with a mental agenda that reinforced all of this designed program that came from an assembly of those that were against humanity. This was not an organic occurrence. This was a policy that happened and took place, which, if it ever is adjudicated properly, has to be retraced. And you'll find them. Oh my gosh, if you actually had a functional justice system in the world, you could trace back to every one of these cockroaches. But, you know, they've set up their safeguards to protect themselves so they can hide in the dark, hide in the background, hide in the shadows. But they've done tremendous damage to humanity around the world. Their health, their minds, this was all fomented evil agenda. So let's keep going with this. Nourished by hatred and jealousy and fomented by obsession, willful ignorance, and protected by delusion that one be a suffering savior, fallen victim to cruel and unforgiving world. Now let's talk about the remedy. It's right here. Thus, evil be a well-formed prison fortress of mind that only gains strength if directly assaulted. So that's the thing. It's always something outside of yourself. You go after that outside of yourself. You've got to first start somewhere else, which is within. To defeat such illness of mind and prevent such sickness ever gaining hold, one must pursue more than one path and more than one remedy to bring upon such a corrupted inner world the greatest force and power and light of the most inspired divine revelation and love that the world has ever seen. Let us begin with resolute certainty this be truly ordained, for no soul be lost or abandoned by the divine creator. So, if you're going to every place that the enemy works to come against you, and come against your communities, and come against those that are around you, how do you respond? Well, to him who overcomes. How do you overcome? Well, you come over, you come above. You raise your frequency, you raise your vibration, you raise your energy, you raise that, you connect with that which is true, and you come up to a higher level, and you go forward in that. You address, bring whatever those fears may be, drag them into the light, look at them in the light. Many that what's one of those definitions for fear? You know, false expectations appearing real. Well, okay, that's fear, F-E-A-R, false expectations appearing real. You people were fed falsehoods, lies, and they looked for those in the manifestation of them, and they fell for because they were not tuning into the frequencies of truth, which would bring a caution up. Listen, when you're tuned into the frequency of truth, what happens is when something is fed to you as a lie, and they try to give it to you as a lie, something will click, and you'll be like, I don't think there's something not right there. Don't know what it is, but something's off there. The more that you align yourself and tune in and go after that which is true and that which is real, you will also recognize quicker and quicker that which is a lie. Now, don't give the lie your time, your attention. Everything in this world is always trying to get into your mind, to reinforce that which is evil, to bring you into a place in your state of being where you can be harvested, you can be loosed, your energy can be extracted from you. Your energy goes into creating and manifesting that world and that world system. And that is part in the plan of the intentions of that. So when people recognize there's a problem, where do they go? Well, they recognize there's a problem in the world. Well, then they set up the trap of religion. So then people go in there and then they waste 10, 15, 20 years of their life in there. And then they come out of that disillusion and then they go into the next trap and the next trap and the next trap until that life is completely extracted and used and used up and drawn off. And then rinse and repeat, right? Do it again. So instead of that, stop that game. You connect with the Most High. You connect with the one who is real. The true, that which is the Most High, that which is above it all, the source of all life. You connect with I Am. You come into this moment, into this present moment. And yes, you recognize that all these things may be out there. You recognize that these things have been taught in the scriptures and are there and are present. All that is there. But in the process of recognition of that, you also see that the solutions are within you. And as you rise up and rise above, the solutions and the manifestation of those solutions can be real in your experience. And when they're real in your experience and you act them out and you bring them forward and you bring those solutions out, that will change your world, your life, and your experience. And when more and more people do that, that will also change the entire world of all that everyone else experiences around them. Instead of trying to take the speck out of someone else's eye, you deal with the log in your own. Instead of trying, you address that which is within first, and then you can see clearly to help your brother and your sister. Do that which you do out of good intent. Do that which you do out of the direction and the quickening of the Most High. Instead of from a place of carrying out an agenda that you've been indoctrinated into. And listen, we've been surrounded in an agenda soup from the day you got here. And it's another trick and another program to be defending an agenda. Examine where these things came from. Many of the things that you hold on to and we hold on to so dearly are just shackles that the world has, you know, that you've grown up around them and you get comfortable with them. People get comfortable in a prison cell because they know it, they know the pattern, they know it, they repeat it, they do it all the time. And when they get comfortable with that pattern, that process and that pattern in their life, very often it's hard for people to leave those patterns because that's what they know. But look at it in your life objectively. Take a step back and even a step just outside of yourself for a moment and look at it. Have those things served you? Are you manifesting the life and the journey that was intended for you? And if not, then stop. Go within, connect with the Most High, and allow Him to lead and guide and direct you in your journey going forward. Yes, there are those that are out there that have gone the evil way, that connect with others and do bad things and bring evil upon this earth. That's there, yes. But also the greater power is in you. And when you rise up in the truth of who you truly are and you connect with others that are doing the same, then your experience in your life will be a manifestation of truth and a higher state of being. You will affect your reality. You will affect your reality, and in the process of going through and doing that, That will be a conclusion in the process of you affecting your reality. The conclusion of your life and your experience is going to be a manifestation of what is within you, which was always your hope, your expectation. You won't, the world won't give it to you, because the world and the world system is not set up for that. It's set up to extract from you. But you can experience and you can manifest, because it comes from within you. Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. It is from within that flows without. That's the natural flow of how things change here upon the earth. It is not the other way around. And so looking for it the other way around is an inversion of thinking. You let it flow from within and you let it manifest without, recognizing the greater powers within you. And whatever the world may do, think, or say, nothing can overcome the one who knows and remembers who they truly are. Remember who you are and walk and manifest from that state, from a higher state. And with that, we will close for the day. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth. Please bless each and every one that hears this message this day, and let us walk in the truth and in the plan and the purpose that you have for all of us. In Jesus' name, thank God.